Welcome to Caldwell University Conversations. I'm Colette Liddy. When natural disasters hit, like the recent Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas, many people want to help, and sometimes they just don't know how. Often, it just takes a few good people to get the ball rolling, and then others will pitch in. Our guests today know that. They have lived through their own share of natural disasters and are using those experiences to reach out to help others in need. I'm happy to welcome Caldwell University students Lamar Shea Chang, Peyton Knowles, and Anamika Sharma Padel. Welcome.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much, Colette.
I want to put this in context. The Category 5 Hurricane Dorian hit on September 1st, reportedly the worst natural disaster in the country's history. Lives lost, homes and businesses destroyed, damages catastrophic, they say in the billions reportedly. Wasteland is a word that many people have used to describe the aftermath. Peyton, you're from the Bahamas, correct?
Yes, I'm from the island of Freeport.
And you were here at the start of the semester
when the hurricane occurred.
So take us back there. What happened to your family there?
So my sister, we knew that the hurricane was coming and that she would be, you know, in danger or like in harm's way. So we made sure that she went out to get the specific materials that she needed. And once the hurricane hit, it was kind of scary at first because I'm here and that's my sister and I don't know like what's going on because lines were cut down. Communication was hard because there was no internet, no cell phone towers. They was all down. And so she was stuck in her shop because there was flooding almost everywhere. Mm. And the flooding came to the bottom of a shop, and she is a two-story shop, and there was water all on the first floor. And she had to take her client's pets up to the second floor while taking her up to the second floor to make sure that no one was injured or lost during the flooding. And it was just, you know, hard for me because of the fact that I was here when all of this was going on. And I couldn't reach her until, like, probably a couple days after the storm started to move off the island.
You were able to reestablish contact with
her. Because once the storm had stayed stationary over Freeport, it was like there was no contact between me and her for about 3 days, 3 to 4 days. Mm. So I had to wait to find out, you know, what really was going on. So it was just hard, like trying to.
Very difficult. Mm. And how is she doing now? What's the situation now? We're taping this at the end of October. Mm-hmm.
Well, right now she's still getting donations and stuff in, so that she could help people who've lost their homes and stuff, because she doesn't only want to help herself in a way. So instead of just focusing on herself, she's telling me how she's helping others and everybody else get water, food, you know, clothes. But she seems to be doing okay, but I know it's a struggle as well for her because, you know, when this happened, there's no business going on. Like, people are more focused on helping each other rather than the business aspect of like, oh, I need to get money this way, I need to get money that way. It's more, let's get each other stabilized first before, you know.
Right, and she lives in Freeport.
Mm-hmm.
So you are helping with that relief drive. You have launched with other students here a relief drive on campus.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So I started that back when I found out the devastation at home, and I asked Lamar if he wanted to help me with a drive and just trying to get as much donations as possible, because I know that, like, when things like that happen, it's hard to just bounce back from it.
Sure.
So I knew that I wanted to do something, especially because I wasn't there to physically help. I wanted to help in a way where I could at least feel like I'm doing something.
And that's empowering for you.
Yeah.
So Lamar, you're from Jamaica.
Yes, I'm from Jamaica.
Also, also surrounded by water,
yes.
Correct? So you've grown up, you saw in your lifetime a Category 4,
yes.
Right? So why did you want to help out with this?
So having the experience of going through several hurricanes, one being Category 4 and several Category 3s, what I've see firsthand is the devastation of people actually putting their lives on a hold just to get back on their feet. So seeing this and being able to empathize with such a situation, I was like, Peyton, I'm definitely up for helping you get this done. So we just started the campus-wide drive, and then from there, I was always posting on my social media, thank you guys, constantly promoting it. And we had such a positive response from the community.
Have you?
Yeah. Yes.
What have you collected?
We have collected in total 15 boxes of clothes, 10 boxes of toiletries and food supplies, and around six cases of water. So we did a really good in terms of the collection.
Sure.
And what Anamika, I reached out to Anamika because she's a part of the SGA, and it was basically, okay, can we get everyone in this campus community on board to move forward with the idea of giving and donations? And then she could definitely tell you more about her engagement.
Sure. Anamika, tell us a little bit about that, why you got involved.
So I got involved because, like, when I've experienced natural disaster myself, like surviving the 2015 earthquake in Nepal, like, it really opens your eyes to what's really important. Like, so many times we get so caught up in, like, education, you have to make career, but when things like this happen, we're like, oh my God, we're just human. It really, like, puts things on perspective. Mm-hmm. And, like, the thing about natural disaster, it does not discriminate anyone. Like, it can be happen to anyone, and that's why, like, it's our moral responsibility that we reach out, because one day it could literally happen to you, mm-hmm. and then you'll need help. So it doesn't matter from which country you are, once, like, somebody needs help, I think we should jump all on board, even if it's like donating one bottle of water. The person who's at Bahamas right now who just needs one bottle of water, that's a lifesaver for that person. Mm-hmm. So definitely, like, when this news came out, I was like, oh my God, we really have to do something. And Lamar reached out to me, and I'm like, what can we do? We're like, okay, we're collecting stuff. We're going to do, like, Bahamas Strong t-shirts. How can we raise funds? How can we get everybody involved? So, like, I'm the vice president for student government. So there, and a lot of student leaders are there. So I was like, can we all do something? Even if it's little something, can we all do? Because collectively, if everybody does something, mm-hmm. it's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that was the first thing, bringing it to student leaders. Circle K did a bubble tea fundraiser. They were like, we're going to sell bubble teas, and whatever funds we raise, it will go to directly the relief efforts. Especially also, like, for Festival of Lights, we're going to do, like, a henna night where you'll put henna in the hands, so that all the money will go to Bahamas fundraiser. Mm-hmm. ISO International Student Organization, they're going to have Global Thanksgiving. So what they have decided is they'll put out a souvenir, there'll be an auction, and whatever the money is collected will go to Bahamas relief efforts. So all the small things that adds up, I think we're doing great, and it's not just today. We can do this for, like, the whole semester, whole year.
Mm-hmm. You definitely are doing great. What I'm hearing is a message of we're all the human family.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, service is a pillar here at Caldwell. As a Catholic Dominican University, it's very important to us. And Lamar, you're an RA.
Yes.
So you often have service projects for
yes.
the students.
Yes.
Was there a tie-in here?
Yes, there was definitely a tie-in. Being in the position of an RA not only means that I enforce the school, the university policy within the dorms, it also means that I have basically an influence around in the people's life around me. So what I did was, knowing that I have this influence, how can I interact with the community that I'm around every day to spark this idea of giving back to the community, giving them, how can we give them an option to say, okay, you want to do good, here's the chance of how we can do good this way. So we basically facilitated, because based on the feedback, everyone on Caldwell really loves to give back. So what we really want to do is open the floor, the stations, for them to actually give back. And it's been pretty good.
Terrific. Well, Peyton, I know you're a student athlete, and part of that is community service. Mm-hmm. And why is that important as part of the student athlete experience?
Well, actually, when I found out, they were all just so willing and so
like, the athletes, yes, the athletic department.
They were all just, what do we need to do? How can we help? And the response I got back from them made me feel like, okay, it's not just the Caldwell residence life, and it's not just the faculty and the education, but it's also the athletes and the athletic department that is also so welcoming and caring. And I really appreciate it, especially my teammates. They actually, this weekend, when we had a cross-country meet, they all bought Bahamas headbands and socks.
And terrific.
And we raced in those, and it was just to raise awareness that, you know, we're doing this for the Bahamas, and we want everybody to know that we're standing with them. And I thought it was just so nice of them, like, they to go out of your way to
beautiful.
Do that.
Mm-hmm. I hope you took a couple photos.
I did. I did.
To share. Anamika, you had a really interesting experience mm-hmm. this past summer mm-hmm. with the Dominican young adults mm-hmm. who went to Puerto Rico, and this was an experience with some of the students from other Dominican universities mm-hmm. across the United States. And can you explain to us what you did there and what that had to do in the aftermath of the hurricane that occurred there?
Yeah, so this last summer I went to Puerto Rico. We went to very like mountainous town called Laris, and then we went to San Juan, but majority of the time I was in Laris. I went with Dominican young adults. Sister Pat was with me from Caldwell University. The whole plan was to
Sister Pat Stringer.
Yeah, Sister Pat's Patricia
Stringer.
Yeah, I call her Sister Pat. So she was the one, because I was like looking forward to like how could I give back, like what could I do on my part for somebody else. So this was the perfect opportunity. So I went there, and basically what we did was the Hurricane Maria that had hit Puerto Rico so hard, people were still recovering from it. It was like it had destroyed everything. People, like the schools were destroyed. There were no houses, so what we did, well, we stayed at a sister's convent too. We changed the schools that had shut down due to hurricane into residential homes. Mm. So we cleaned and we rearranged the whole thing. So, you know, the schools that have closed that could actually be used to mm-hmm. stay, like people could actually use that as homes who didn't have any place to stay. So we cleaned up one whole school, mm-hmm. rearranged it into like a living space. Mm-hmm. It was me and like 12 of my other friends from other universities. Mm-hmm. And then it was not just that, it was like interacting with the local people, listening to their stories, going to coffee plantation. People really wanted to show like what is Puerto Rico like. It was really, I don't know how to say it. It was very heartwarming, because I was like, oh my God, like small things matter so much. Even like talking to the little kids, giving them one like sunglasses, and they were like, oh my God, we are so blessed. A little girl literally told me like, oh my God, I'm so blessed. I know others don't have much, when she was living in a homeless shelter herself. Like if she could say that, we who have so much, mm-hmm. I was like, why can't we do something about it? So that was the whole purpose of going to Puerto Rico, to like even making one person smile. I was like, we'd definitely like have made a difference. And that's exactly what we did in Puerto Rico.
It sounds like you made more than one person smile. But what I'm also hearing here is that that hurricane, Maria, occurred nearly 2 years ago, mm-hmm. but there was still work to do.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So what I noticed is the schools had closed. So children were going to a different school that was really, really far. And when I went to Puerto Rico, what happened was the government was not really doing much. So people were asking, if these schools are closed, why can't we live in them? We don't have houses. And mm-hmm. government was like, no, you can't. So they're like, okay, so what's the option? There's been like billions of dollars in donations to build Puerto Rico back, but nothing was done. So what the local people actually did was they took power in their hands. And they just went with it. They didn't ask for permission. They just transformed schools. And they're like, so many families have place to live. So, and even when I was in Puerto Rico, there was a big movement that turned the government around. So I was kind of part of a historic movement because there were like curfews. I didn't know if I would even be back at time. So that's what happened. Even after years, there's so much to do, and I really like salute the people of Puerto Rico, their spirit. They took it in their hands. They were like, we are going to help each other. We are not going to wait for the government's donation or approval. So a lot of work is still to be done.
Quite an experience for
you. There's also like when devastations hit, there's no really like time frame as to when it should stop, or like when people, like it's not like a hashtag that gets famous and then it just dies away after. Like, yes, in the moment it happens and there's so much chatter around it, but we can't just forget about it as time goes on, because people are still trying to rebuild from things that might happen 2 years ago or 3 years ago. So we have to, you know, keep on like bringing it back up into topic just so people remember and they say, oh, well, now that we know, it hasn't been resolved yet.
Right, so the media focus is on it at the beginning, but it still continues. And you know that because as a young girl, you lived through Hurricane Katrina.
Yes.
What happened then to you and your family?
In our old house, we had everything set. We had the house prepared for the hurricane, but when the hurricane came, the roof collapsed in, the house started flooding. We had to evacuate our house to go to my dad's workplace because that was one of the closest locations that we could have gotten to that was stable. It wasn't compromised. So we had to go there, and we had to stay there for at least, I think, 2 nights. And then when the eye of the storm came over, that's when we went to go back to the house to see what damage was done. And it was the back part of the house was just destroyed. The roof was caved in, the books and the stand where the books was on was laid over on the floor, the TVs and the couches was out in the yard. So it was just devastation. And then after that, it was kind of hard to bounce back because now we have to find a house to live in. We have to find, jobs. And the schools didn't open up until November that year, because even though it didn't get hit as hard as the residence areas, it was still a part of the school wasn't functionable, and it wasn't safe for the students to go in. So we didn't go to school until end of November, and you know it's hard to bounce back from something like that.
Sure.
And it's like you have to make sure like to remember that it's not, there's no time frame on it. Like there's not a set time frame as to when we should think about.
That's what you're trying to do now, is you're trying with this assistance to help others reestablish and rebuild.
Right.
And the fund in particular, the Abaco Assistance Fund that you are working on, will help with education and will help families restore their lives in Abaco. Mm-hmm. Caldwell has a history in Abaco because the Sisters of St. Dominic of Caldwell, who founded this wonderful university, served there for many years, for nearly 30 years. So that is what your fund is supporting. Mm-hmm. And you have t-shirts, Lamar.
Yes. Yes, so more about the t-shirts. So we did a couple of t-shirts, ordered them in. We had a lot of sign-ups so far, and that's pretty good. But we're still trying to raise more awareness about the drive. So as what Peyton said, it does not stop. There's no time frame of when we should expect the Bahamian people to be back on their feet. So the selling of the t-shirts, all the proceeds go towards the idea of let's continually help them get back on their feet, because the hurricane really took a lot away from them.
Mm-hmm. And where can people find out about that?
So their campus emails about it, but the shirts are in from different sizes, from small to...
And I'm looking
triplets
at them right now. They're beautiful.
Yes, with the Bahamian colors.
You have one on.
Yes, you could definitely just stop by Dominican Hall. Marisi will be there selling the t-shirts. Mm-hmm. So yes.
And Peyton, tell us about the hashtag.
Oh, okay, so we have a hashtag, it's 242 strong, and 242 is the area code of the Bahamas. And when we want to, I guess, rep our country, we say, oh, we from the 242. And it's just to show, like we're proud of our country. We proud of where we from, you know?
So it's, and like, we're proud of you, too. That's wonderful. Final question. Mm-hmm. when you graduate, mm-hmm. are you taking this spirit of giving back, of community service with you?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course.
So yeah, definitely, like, service is so important to not just us, like, everybody, because the whole point of being here is to make someone's life better. So definitely when we graduate, even if anything happens, and me, I believe Lamar, Peyton, I can speak for all of us, like, whatever happens, we'll jump on to help in any capacity possible, even, like, incorporating service in our careers. Like, I am from the healthcare field, so even healthcare is like a form of service. Whatever I, like, right now I am working in a cancer center, so I'm helping the patients. Even when I graduate, I'll always have the spirit of service. If I can make one person smile, then I'll do it every day.
So I want to do service because my major is sports management, and I want to take that degree back home to help with the sports and tourism industry. Because I know that could also help bring in income, and it could help rebuild
our economy.
Mm-hmm, because our economy is based off of tourism. And so if we could help, if any way I could help the sports and tourism industry in any way possible, I would love to just bring whatever I know to the table and to just put it all out and try
and
to.
And you know quite a bit. And Lamar, what are your aspirations?
As for me, I'm planning to go off to medical school and also to incorporate with that a lot of research, because I believe that with knowledge comes a lot of power, and I want to use all the stuff that I've learned at Carleton University to enhance patient care for the future. So that's really my aspirations, to give back to the community, to constantly make people feeling better all the time.
Well, all three of you have beautiful talents and giving hearts, so I know you're going to do great. So I want to thank you so much for being wonderful guests on this podcast. And also thanks to our students for their production assistance, Drew Timothy and Sunny Gupta. I'm Colette Liddy. Join us next time for Caldwell University Conversations.